Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show, hour number two for us tonight. All 4 hours available on the Odyssey app, Sirius XM Channel 375, and plenty of stations across the country. Some we're on for 3 hours, some for two, some for one. Some just take the last segment of the show. That's the segment I try the most. So it's fitting that they take that one. But we have you covered wherever you need your sports fix. A lot of good news to talk about. Paige Bueckers does go number one. WNBA draft tonight to the Dallas Wings. Rory McIlroy did win the Masters. The NBA playoffs do start tomorrow. And the Tampa Bay Rays did put up 15 runs, I believe we got up to, against the Boston Red Sox. Make it 16. They were up 14-1. After three. Pittsburgh putting a hurting on Washington. A lot of double digits tonight. Detroit 9 runs over Milwaukee. Pittsburgh 10. Giants 10 over the Phillies. And that's a look at your out-of-town scoreboard. All right. So, Nico Iamaliava, quarterback at Tennessee, had an NIL deal with the university. Really, prior to a lot of this getting the way that it is. So he had signed his deal a few years ago, a multi-year deal to play quarterback in March of 2022. This is the infancy of the NIL. This is when the Wild Wild West was still ripe with possibility. Where I don't think that we ever thought we would have gotten to this point where it's just insane. I mean, it was already insane at that time because that was like the first, oh, this guy's basically signing a contract. Because again, we've lost the plot on what I think a lot of us thought NIL would be. NIL, what does it stand for? Nothing. I mean, it stands for name, image, and likeness, but That's not it now. That's not what it is. When we talk about NIL deals, we're talking about how much can the university pay a kid to play for them? Because what they were supposed to be able to do was, hey, you're getting a big chunk of money from us. We should be able to make some money on our name, image, and likeness. Through endorsement deals or jersey sales or video games or whatever. And then, you know, the team could help out and say, yeah, you know, we'll compensate you. But quickly we went from that to $2.3 million a year for this guy to play quarterback at Tennessee. They had their spring practices over the weekend and he didn't show up. He wants $4 million. He wants to renegotiate, basically holding out for an NIL deal. And Tennessee said no. The negotiation period for this one started and then quickly ended. They don't want to, we're not doing it. We're not backing down. We're not caving, I should say. We're not going to be exploited this way. One, you know, he led them to the playoffs, but also there are better quarterbacks in college that might have a little more leverage if this is something that they want to try to do. And he can go somewhere and certainly help a team, but with the options available, it does not seem like he's going to go anywhere that would be a better situation for him than in Tennessee. I read an article today where, you know, picture everything that you're trying to do with this kid. Because a lot of people are blaming his dad's influence. But this kid's 6 years old, you're throwing football in the backyard, you're dreaming to one day make the pros. And he's been on a pretty good path to eventually make the pros. He's in a college football playoff. He's at a big-time SEC school. And now you get to this point and you're thinking, no, $2.3 million is not enough. We need four. And Tennessee didn't want to negotiate. What's going to be interesting out of this is who does. Now, there's 133 teams in Division I, and it only ever takes one, and somebody may give him the bag, so to speak. UCLA, they're from California, seems to be a front runner. USC could be another team. He can't go to another SEC school and play right away with the few transfer rules that are left. Texas Tech could be in the running. North Carolina got rumored or suggested with Bill Belichick being there, but Bill and the program have already made it known we're not interested. And you do wonder, because this feels like a make or break moment or an inflection point, a crossing of the Rubicon. Like, this can't be the way that it is, or it's not going to be good for anybody. And I do, see, the NIL thing is weird for me because I think I hate it. I do. I think I hate it. I think if I could pick NIL or no NIL, I would pick no NIL. So I'm wondering whose side people are on in this. Are you on Amaliava's side? Are you on Nico's side? Great month to be named Nico, by the way, between him and Harrison. Are you on the university side? Because I think when I say I think I don't like NIL, I don't think that it's fair for college athletes to commit to a coach and then he can just bolt wherever he wants. I don't think that's fair. So I do like that the players have the same option. If that's something you can do, well, we can do it too. So I do like that. I don't like that I've always looked at, silly me, I've always looked at college as like education and continuing yours. You know, college is education. You continue your education and it sets you up for the next stage of your life. And if you're a sports player, sometimes we just call them athletes, you know, what you're doing is you're setting yourself up to be drafted by a professional league, just like you might find a part-time job or an internship in college to then graduate and go join the workforce. You can get paid on those most of the time. Plenty of companies do have those paid internships with college kids. So why shouldn't these guys make a little bit of money as well? So I appreciate that. I've always thought it was weird that the university bookstore could sell jerseys. Like if you had a stud running back wearing the number 33. I'm thinking about Ron Dayne back in Wisconsin. They couldn't sell Ron Dayne jerseys. But what you could do is you could sell the 33 jersey, and then on the back, instead of it saying Dane, it would say Wisconsin. You knew you were buying a Ron Dane jersey. Everybody knew you were. He knew you were. But you couldn't, and he made no money off of that. I'm buying it because I like this guy, and he's making no money. They can't do endorsements. The rules are very strict on that. They can lose amateur status. So there's a lot of things that I do like about college athletes being able to get a piece of the pie that they help bake. I think what I don't like is the amount of money. But even still, they're making a lot of money. And if that money is available, that's the thing. That's the thing that we always talk about with sports. And I always try to remind people, we can't look at sports as if they're real jobs. Yes, teachers should make more money. Yes, nurses should make more money. Yes, first responders should make more money. Frontline workers, you know, the essential workers. A lot of people should make more money. But you only can make the money out that comes into the business. And in sports, a lot of money comes into the business because we spend money on it. So with that much money going around, of course, it's different. And it's like, oh, geez, 2.3 is not enough. I'd do whatever for 2.3. But these guys seem like they're in a landscape where they think they can get more. It feels It feels to me like they're skipping the part where they become adults. And that's old man yell at cloud, I know, but college was very important to me. And I don't think everybody, it's not, you don't need to go to college. I always thought I would go to college. I did. It did help me like make a connection to get my first job. I still think I could very easily have. I don't think my college degree has ever gotten me a job other than the one first connection. But I didn't need it as much for the education as I needed it for the growing up as a human in a contained environment where I was allowed to make mistakes repeatedly and have little consequence to anybody else. I needed that. I needed to grow up. I needed to mature. And I don't know that a lot of these guys are getting a lot of money with big decisions right away. It's a lot. It's a lot. I think a lot of these guys are going to make decisions that in 5 years they're going to look back and say, I should not have done that. And you throw a lot at them real quick. Especially when you're on a college campus, if you are like the BMOC, the big man on campus, that's a lifestyle that you're just treated like a god. So there's parts of NIL that I understand and agree with. I also think it's putting too much money into these kids' pockets when they're not ready to grapple the consequences and decisions that have to come and the responsibility that come with that. Again, I never want to be the guy that, you know, looks in your wallet. You should, if you can make money the way you want to make money, and it's fair and legal, then do it. And if you can get yourself in a position to make that, that's fine. I'm not, you know, I don't hate everyone that makes, $2 million. I hate that. That's not what I'm trying to say. I think he's making a grave mistake, though. I think he is in a very good position, Nico, and biting off more. And I don't think that that works out for them. Now, Tennessee said, no, we're not dealing with this. I was reading a story today, too, where they were thinking about, Nico and some other guys, they were thinking about holding out of the playoffs. Holding out. Because their NIL deal did not factor in these extra games. That would have been, you've already seen guys transfer when they're like a backup, but that would have been outrageous. And so this does feel like something needs to, there needs to be some sort of guardrail. If this is what it's going to be, there needs to be some sort of guardrail. Should these other universities and coaches be like, wherever he goes, we're not giving him more than the $2.3 million Tennessee was giving him. Now that's collusion, and collusion in most cases is illegal. Are we going to make an example out of this kid? Or does it just take one team like a UCLA that's like, hey, we're not as good as we used to be. We could use a little spark. And all of a sudden, they get this quarterback who's been in the college football playoff with some experience and some skill, and now they've got something that they can market. So I don't know. I don't feel like I want to be a guy who says the kids shouldn't make money. You know, I don't, they have the, I think they should be able to get a cut of what is going on. But also I think that we've given a lot of these guys too much power. I don't want to see holdouts in college sports. I don't want to see people like just go to the highest bidder in college sports. I don't want to see these small-time schools bring in a kid. Like, you know what really... I bring this guy up as like a joke. But Doug Edert, the kid with the mustache from St. Peter's, he had a nice run, so he transferred to Bryant. Where then he like sucked. Wasn't as good. But you get your first little flavor of notoriety, and the first thing you're thinking of is, where else can I go? How can I leave? Where can I make the most money? Again, I think you should be afforded to do that in real life. It just feels it feels like it's too soon happening in college. And I know the student and student athlete died long ago, right? And it doesn't matter what division your university is at. You could be in a class with a basketball player. You know, you've got class twice a week for a semester. You see him the first day of class. You see him on the when you take your final exam, and you might see him one other time. I get it. They're doing the work. They got practice. Teachers helping out the school spirit. I get it. So I just wonder, in a situation like this, who do people root for? Do you root for the college athlete who's already in a position well behind his wildest dreams or ahead of his high? The other thing that bothers me about this is these kids are now the ones to profit off of the hard work for the last 100 years of athletes. And I know there's a house settlement and, you know, people are able to try to get some money off the back end here. But these guys didn't do anything except be born at the right time. And again, I know that there's been money under the table, blah, 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 et cetera. But this is more money than you could ever imagine. And maybe you go to Georgia in the 1980s because somehow your mom's going to get a nice car and you won't have to pay for a meal. We'll keep it all off the books. That's great. Maliava here is making $2.3 million and he wants four. That seems a little out of control. So it does feel like sort of a watershed moment here. Or not. Or he, because the transfer portal opens up in 2 days. Maybe he signs with UCLA and everything's great and we know him as this, but it never changed anything. Tennessee took a stand. Tennessee said, look, you got us to the playoff. We're not doing this. We'll find another guy. We've got some guys on the roster. Don't know if it's going to be them, but we're not being raked over the coals like this. Now, again, all it takes is one, and I'm sure he'll get the money he's looking for. He'll be in a worse position in terms of the team that he's on, the skill that they have, the things they can accomplish, where he would get less exposure, maybe hurts his draft stock, maybe loses some money in the long term, but I don't know. I'm trying to be pro player on this, but I do not like where we've gotten to with the NIL. So if something does happen to sort of course correct it, I'm not against that whatsoever. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Talk a little more about Rory and his big day. Get into some of this NBA playoff preview, as we've got some playing games tomorrow. Plenty to get to throughout the night. 888-710-4ISN. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Rory McIlroy winning the Masters, his fifth career major, his first chance to put on that green jacket. At 35 years old, he joins Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Ben Hogan, and Gene Sarazen is the only other five that have won the career Grand Slam. In all of their careers, they've won at least one. I can say the sentence better than I will. They've won the major. Wow. I see why some people write out what they say. They've won each of the majors at least once. Goodness gracious. Great balls of fire. Rory's career earnings now $104.2 million. Second only to Tiger, who's made $120. Rory will eclipse that with the PGA putting a couple more zeros behind those checks. He won $4.2 million to win the Masters. Rory's also got a bunch of different business investments, including the TGL Indoor Golf League, that league that you maybe saw. He does that with Tiger. He's got a long-term deal with Nike and equipment packed with TaylorMade. Could bring in at least $20 million annually there. And yet he felt like the underdog. He felt like just He felt like we all saw ourselves in Rory. And Rory's got a lot of money, got a lot of success now. And he will tell you and give a lot of credit to his parents. Basically, there was a time where they noticed their kid could be good at this. And they needed to raise money for him to like go to tournaments and get the best gear and stuff. So all they basically did was work. Basically. They like didn't see each other for weeks at a time because they'd be strangers in the night. They had one child and they put it all into helping this man become the guy he is today. So from very humble beginnings to the great career he's had up to this point and now cemented a legacy by winning the Masters. Because no matter what happens from here on out, and you would think big things are coming, I mean, you want to look down the calendar a little bit with Rory playing as well as he is. Who's to say another major doesn't slip into his back pocket this season? Who's to say another two? Who's to say a Grand Slam in and of itself is impossible? Northern Ireland is where the Open Championship will be held at the end of the golf season. So a great moment for Rory to get on that green jacket for the first time. David is in Buffalo. Hello, David. We go to David in Buffalo. David, my man, what's happening? David.
Yeah.
Buffalo. Hey, what the hell?
Hello?
Yeah, David, hi.
What's up, man?
We just gave you like a good 45 seconds of waiting.
Oh, okay. What's going on, dude? I was in the other room.
Oh, okay. Talk to me.
Yeah, what's up, man? What did you think of the Masters this weekend, man? I thought it was awesome.
I thought it was good, too, David.
Yeah, it was a great tournament, dude. I thought the biggest thing in this tournament was Rory's resiliency. I mean, I thought all these years people had kind of been like, hey, this guy, you know, has all the talent. We've never seen a guy, you know, this remarkable as a player from tee to green. The physical skills have all been there. And that was, I thought, was interesting in Tiger's tweet, or whatever you call it now, after the tournament, after Rory had won. Tiger kind of brought that up in that. So I think a lot of these guys have all respected, and people in the golf world all respected his journey, but nobody said it. And now I think people are realizing the sacrifices that his parents made and just everything he's had to do to earn it out there. And, man, it is special. It was a special weekend.
Oh, the most insane thing was that we've already knew about, you know, him getting close and not being able to get it done and what this event means to him, what a green jacket would mean to him. And then over the course of the round, he had about, you know, like three different times where you could say, oh, he's choking right away. And then on 13 and then at the end, not getting it in. But to overcome that, I mean, the roller coaster of a day, what that must do to a person. I got to think after whatever media, you know, things he had to do today, whatever sponsor things he had to do, that his body just needs to shut down and sleep, and the brain needs to be turned off for a little bit because it went through the ringer over the weekend.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. Yeah, I mean, he kept talking about, I guess he wants to go over and see his parents in Northern Ireland and all that, because I think he's going to play with Shane Lowry in a couple weeks of that tournament in New Orleans. But yeah, it's just like, I mean, I think the cool part about it was, too, like after he got done, we saw this a few years ago when Tiger won, was just the respect these guys have for each other. Like, I mean, we see that in the NHL playoffs, how when, you know, the series is over, they, you know, you have the handshake line and everything. But most sports, you don't see that anymore. And you were talking about the segment before about the NIL and how things have changed. And that's the one thing golf has always got, the sportsmanship, man. I think that's a remarkable thing, and I think it puts it in a different category of sports.
David, thanks for the call. Good to talk to you. Normally, I would say David's about an even par on his calls and did start with a double bogey at the beginning there, just like Rory.
Definitely not his best call.
Well, he got into it. It was a good call.
Yeah.
But the beginning was a little...
Definitely a plus two now that I understood that reference.
Why does that? I think I think there needs to be a little bit more decorum, perhaps. Some of you guys call in and then you're on hold. When we go to you, you got to be ready. And I'm not just picking on David. I got people ordering cheeseburgers. I got people taking number twos. I got people, I was on mute. Okay, maybe, I guess. I got people in the bathtub. I mean, I try to get to you as quick as I can.
Hey, why don't you like America?
There's gotta be like, do we have to like super prep? Do I have to send you a message and say, hey, tell this guy I'm coming to him? I don't want to do that. That's
yeah, I'd
stupid.
Rather not do that either. It's enough work for me to drive this spaceship.
Am I wrong to assume that just when I want to talk to somebody, they will be there?
No, because that's typically the premise of how a call-in show works. You call in, you get through the first level of security and the last level of security in me, and the next voice you shall hear will be Bart. Now, pulling back the curtain, it's not like Bart just says, all right, let's go to Jim in Florida, and Jim hears nothing. There's a big-ass bell that, like, alerts you. You are now on the air. It's like, bing, pretty audible. Mm. So if you are, like, half asleep, if you're doing something else, you hear that big bang, you're on the air. So there's too many people lately, and it's been an epidemic last week. Too many people were like, oh, well,
that's
sorry,
why I bring
I was
it
just
up.
Running to the store. Oh, I was just doing a delivery. Sorry, I was in the bathroom. Like, you called in. Why don't you call in when you're free? We're not your side chick.
Yeah, I don't bring it up if I didn't think that it was getting out of hand. It's been getting out of control. So, all right, when you guys call in, and we encourage and appreciate and enjoy, but, be somewhat aware of it. It's not like we're asking you to jump through hoops. We're just asking you to listen to the show that we assume you're listening to.
Lord have mercy.
Christ have mercy. Paige Bueckers, number one overall tonight in the WNBA draft. No surprise there. Haley Van Lith, number 11 to Chicago. I will be.
Good pick.
I will be going to. I think I'm going to get Chicago Sky season tickets.
Yeah, they got a squad now, don't they? Her, Angel Reese, the other people they picked up.
Yep. Paige Bueckers also signed a contract with Unrivaled. So Unrivaled is another league. It's the 3-on-3 league where TNT airs some games, and it's on TV. It's just another chance for these players to get exposure, to get in front of crowds, to get on TV, to make more money. So she signed a contract with them, and you can do both, because a lot of times what was happening was the WNBA, and there's probably going to be some sort of a labor conversation, they don't make a ton of money. So then they also play somewhere else in the off season, and typically that's been overseas. Well, now this is a league that's supposed to keep them stateside. She's going to make $350,000 in her first season with Unrivaled. The WNBA contract she signs is a 3-year deal worth $247,000. So I don't know how that gets fixed. The WNBA is making money independently from the NBA, and I think they need bigger TV contracts, and they need, more people. And you've seen some of that start. But that's the way that their salaries are going to increase, is if the money coming in to the league increases. But for now, there's another outlet for them to at least make some money. So Paige Bueckers signing with Unrivaled. Most of the players have gone there. Caitlin Clark did not. That was the big will she or won't she. But there's a lot of money coming her way in endorsements, which is, again, another way to provide a revenue stream. But she does go number one overall, as expected, to the Dallas Wings. There was some talk that maybe she could stay and make more money in college via NIL, but this was the appropriate choice here for Paige, and She is now a member of the Dallas Wings. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Here's Marco Belletti.
Say what you want about that call, but when I put them on air, they were ready. maybe a little too ready to go.
Oh, sorry. I was just pulling on my pants.
But they were ready. However you use us, you know, some people use us for entertainment. Some people use us for information. Some people use us to spice things up.
The power of love.
On an otherwise slow winter night. I don't know. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
Masters this weekend, and we love the Masters, and we love golf, and we love the slow golf commentary.
Rory on 18 needs a birdie here to win the championship. You know, we love that. So they decided on the FanDuel Sports Network Detroit, Jason Benetti and Andy Dirks decided to try to call a baseball game as one would call a golf event. This a game between Detroit and the Twins from over the weekend.
Job on six. He's been dynamic so far today.
153 yards out. He elects for the 800.
From 60 feet 6 inches, he goes fastball.
Just off the edge of the green.
You could argue that baseball is a sport that actually could be called like golf. Very calming tapper, and he just taps it in with a throw to first. Job through two here on six.
Even par for the inning.
That's very good stuff. I would think that I would want to, hear that the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually don't hate it.
No, I kind of want to hear golf called like it's like game seven of the NBA Finals.
Rory, if he can hit this par, he'll win the Masters. And everybody just telling you to shut up. Like, call it like wrestling.
Blocked by Bryson. Wow.
Oh, he missed it. We're going to a playoff. By God, can you believe it?
The other baseball clip that I'd like to play for you happened tonight. And this is a gentleman named Wiley Ballard. Now, Wiley Ballard is going to be a name that you hear a lot of in the next 24 hours. Many people will want to talk to him. And you are going to see this clip in various different platforms, because he is the the sideline reporter. What do you call it in baseball? It's not the sideline reporter, is it? Maybe it is. But he got a girl's number on live television tonight.
No, good for him.
Here up the Corona rooftop. Who do we got here? What's your name?
My name's Lauren.
Lauren's, all right.
And I'm Kayla.
Kayla, and you guys hang out at the rooftop lounge often?
Once a year I come out to visit.
Okay, well, we timed it pretty well. All right, good. How are you guys feeling about root for the Braves today?
Oof, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
What about you? Are you a Braves fan now?
Not quite.
All right, I'm gonna go to work up here, guys. Good luck the rest of the way.
Okay, Wiley. You got four innings to get the numbers.
Come on.
Get us some more Braves fans.
All right, so they want me to get your number.
They want you to get my number.
I'm dead serious. They're saying in my ear right now, she didn't believe me because she thinks you guys are not. I'm making this up. Even if you guys weren't, I might use that in the future. That's actually a pretty good move.
This is unbelievable.
So the best part of this right now is that Wiley could totally be faking it. This might be the new move. Okay. Just walk around with a FanDuel microphone and an earpiece in and convince fans that they're actually on TV.
I should have thought of this years ago.
And he got the number. She's putting it in his phone. And that again, FanDuel Sports TV, Atlanta. Or South or whatever.
Yeah,
he got
knows?
The number. Yeah, he got the number.
Bravo.
These are two good-looking people. Now, she does, I don't know what the situation is with her friend, but there was another person there who, when the guys told him get the number,
he immediately went over to the first girl, Lauren, and then not the other person. So now she's just sitting there, and we'll see what happens.
Definitely hating.
I don't know.
She was definitely being a little hater.
Imagine going to a game from out of town with your friend, and then a TV reporter picks her up live on TV. You know, that's like being the second girl in that Hawk 2 video.
I was just thinking the same thing. She's the girl behind the Hawk 2 girl that no one knows who she is, but she's always there.
Yeah. Then the guy. The guy who asked the question, like, they're all mad that nobody's, like, giving them more credit for, great at reporting.
Yeah, they were like, I don't know if they tried to sue her or they just flat out asked her for money. But they're like, hey, without our channel, you wouldn't have gotten the recognition. First of all, you dodo brains, go get a real job. You want to be reporters so bad? Go work for a news outlet. Like, I hate these people who would just want to walk around with a phone and a little mic and try to get clout. Kick rocks.
Puck to it.
Although it would be a good way for us to increase engagement into the show.
Oh, yeah. No, we did it. I flipped my tune on at 180 degrees.
We should have done that at Wrigley.
You know what? You're just thinking of it now, about it now. That's bad planning.
And I knew we should have actually tried to do something with our day date that we had there.
Yeah. But you know what it was? I think when it came to the realization that nobody knows who we are, we just got demoralized. Before the first pitch, we were like, oh, what are we doing here?
No.
We're the Bart Winkler Show. The what?
I got recognized at the bar.
Bart Carlos. Yeah, by people that know you.
No, by a different guy that listened to me in Milwaukee for years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And how small is Wrigleyville that we saw him twice?
I think he might have seen where we were based on our picture.
Oh. Oh, I like this far less now.
I'm not sure. Well, I mean, I took a picture and he's like, oh, I know that guy. I'm going to go try to find him. I don't know. But it was very chaotic for a little bit. I saw somebody that recognized me. And then I saw like my roommate from just after college. And it was going swimmingly. And then.
Yeah. For those brief 10 minutes, I was the girl behind the Hawk to a girl.
You were.
I was just standing there with my beer like, what am I doing here?
See, and this is the problem. Like, so when I saw my college roommate or whatever, I did introduce him to you. That was a quick, like, this is who I'm with, you know. I think that is polite. But the other two guys he was with, like, there's no reason you needed to meet them, you know, because I don't know those two guys. And then I barely know you. So why do you guys need to meet? It's always like, I hate meeting people where you're like, hey, but you know that this is irrelevant. You're not going to be meeting again. There's going to be no other circumstance where it's not like we're going to all sudden hang out all day and you're going to make a friend for life. But what would happen in college, when that would happen in college, when I grew up, was when Facebook exploded. So had that happened, not only would I then be friends with my college roommate on Facebook, Carlos and that guy would have become Facebook friends, and you'd been Facebook friends with the other guys.
Snapface.
So you'd see all these updates 15 years from now and be like, who the hell is this guy? Oh, he's this guy that I went to that game with at Bart and then his friend and then this, and then you'd be Facebook buddies.
Snapface.
So, yeah. So I didn't feel like I needed you to meet them, and I don't even know their names.
No, totally fine. I don't need any more Facebook friends. Like, I'm good.
I don't need any more friends.
Yeah, I feel the same.
You like just got in under the buzzer.
Oh, the same, dude. I don't know. I don't know what would have happened if I didn't get this job. I don't think we'd be friends at all.
888-710-4476. Got a lot of NBA to get into, including the Phoenix Suns burning money again. Next, Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.